Like many of you here tonight, I pretend to do news on TV. My weekend update co-anchor, Michael Che, was going to join me here tonight, but in solidarity with President Biden, I decided to lose all my black support.
That a sort of funny moment at the White House Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend? I'll let you decide. I'm Dave Rubin. This is The Rubin Report. It is April 29th, 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble, on Locals, and on YouTube. Share, subscribe, tap that notification bell if you have not. And a big thank you to the thousands and thousands of people. I don't know, do we have a number yet? It was like 10 or 15,000 new subscribers on YouTube alone. Rumble's blowing up. Things are looking real good. It is much appreciated in this time of sheer insanity, which, of course, that is what we're going to be covering for the next hour or so. Oh, and always postgame show, rubinreport.locals.com, right after the program. We're going to start with some Bill Maher stuff, because it is Mondays, and I said we have to come up with a graphic or some sort of musical something, Mondays with Maher, because he does real time, obviously, on Friday night, and that does seem to be where so much of what becomes culturally relevant gets spun out of and then kind of sent across the internet. So Scott Galloway, who is a liberal professor from NYU, who we played some clips of last week, he's been going around making the mainstream media hits and making some sense as a liberal. So he was on Bill Maher's show with Don Lemon. Yes, I have to talk about Don Lemon for just a split second. But really what this is all about is how did the brains of all of these young kids who we are now seeing embrace jihad and embrace genocide and occupy college campuses and call for violence and all of the stuff, how did it all happen? It didn't happen overnight. Some of us have been warning against it, but it's been a decades-long march through the institutions and people, not only some professors, and some people like Jordan Peterson and some media guys have been warning about this. But we're also going to show you a clip from that famous video that we've shown you a couple times, Yuri Bezmenov, who is a former KGB agent, basically laying out how you would destroy the West. And it, in effect, it's happening right now. However, I think we have some ways we can fight against it. So let's dive right in. Here is Scott Galloway on Real Time with Bill Maher talking about just sort of the general state of anxiousness and frustration and confusion that young college kids are going through right now.
We have a cohort of young people who aren't having sex. They aren't getting together. They're more obese, they're more anxious, they're more depressed. 55% of people our age are extremely proud to be American. 18% of people under the age of 25 are extremely proud to be American. What happens when you don't have the guardrails of a relationship? And this is what happens to young men when they don't have the prospect of a romantic relationship. They're more prone to misogynistic content. They don't believe in climate change. They're more prone to conspiracy theory.
Gambling.
Yeah.
I was reading
they
that.
They become citizens. We are producing too many citizens. What are the most unstable, violent...
Okay, as I said, he's still a liberal, lefty, whatever you want to call it. So I somehow he throws climate change in there. But the broad point that he's making, that young people aren't having sex, that they're anxious. We know the amount of prescription drugs that they're on, right? They're not getting out there. They're watching porn all day. They're playing video games all day. Social media, which was supposed to make us more social, has actually made us antisocial. Maybe being locked in your house for 3 years in your formative years, let's say when you were 14 to 17, maybe being injected with something. You don't know why you got injected with it. You found out that your friend now has a heart problem because of it. Like the litany of things that have been pushed on these kids, on top of the fact that their teachers and the entire educational system has taught them all the wrong things as it pertains to the founding of America. So they're no longer proud of this country. They don't believe in the family anymore. Like, so it's been a giant amount of things that have come together to just sit on these kids. So they're trying to move on in the world, and they just have this weight holding them down right now. And here, Galloway connects that to what is going on, particularly at Columbia, but now it's burst forth to dozens of college campuses around the country, and the sort of double standards as it pertains to a certain minority.
But the double standard here is pretty striking. Dylann Roof goes into a Charleston church and kills nine members of a of a black church. If I went down to the plaza of any of these universities with a white hood, a Confederate flag, and signs and started saying, Dylan, globalize Dylan, kill black people.
Right.
There'd be no need for context. We wouldn't be talking about free speech. I'd be out of academia. And if I whipped up students into a frenzy such that we started harassing non-white students on their way to the library, and I started getting in their face or even throwing things at them, and that has happened, we wouldn't be having a conversation about the First Amendment. We'd call in the f***ing National Guard. And what is clear to me is that free speech is at its freest when it's hate speech against Jews.
All right, so first off, like, just obviously everything there that he's saying there is true. The double standard at this point is completely ridiculous. Forget if it was white supremacists. Imagine if it was just a bunch of generally white kids, but it would have some Hispanics and blacks too, wearing MAGA hats, that had just put out tents in college campuses across the country. Right. And even if they weren't calling for violence, not calling for genocide, which the current kids are doing, but they were just saying, hey, we really like Trump. We want more people to know we like Trump, and we're putting tents in the middle of the quad here at Columbia. We know that they would be taken out immediately. Do you think AOC would be showing up to support their right to free speech and the First Amendment? Do you think Ilhan Omar would be showing up? Of course not. You know exactly what would be going on. They would be calling it an insurrection and everything else. So the double standard is important to note. But another thing that's important to note is the endless need for everyone to racialize everything. So I said on the show like a month ago, we weren't going to show you anything else with Lemon. I guess I'm breaking my own rule here because I want to show you one thing. Don Lemon, who, as far as I can tell, has no discernible talent. Like, they threw him on television. I guess he can read off a teleprompter, fine. But he got kicked off CNN because he was just terrible. And everyone knew he was lying and he was pretending to be a journalist when really he was a partisan activist and everything else. But watch this brief clip where he still wants to play the victim, right? No matter what, even though he's a millionaire and he's on television and he's got everything he wants and he runs in all the circles that anyone could ever dream of running in, he's still the victim because of some immutable characteristic nonsense.
I'm not minimizing what's going on, but it teaches some of these students to deal with discomfort, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Right. I mean, it does, right?
Need to.
But this
you
is
mean the tent, living in the tent?
Well, living in the tent, and also, listen, I'm different than you guys. You know, I'm a black gay man, so I live in uncomfortable spaces all the time, and I think that is a good lesson for college students. Again, I'm not saying
What's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on?
Well, you're so uncomfortable spaces.
Well, it's uncomfortable. Everything, college is not a comfortable place. You learn.
But you say you live in these spaces.
Yeah, I live in these spaces.
Well, I mean, just tell me what.
Well, I'm often the only person of color in the room, especially in.
There's only three of us
spaces.
Here. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
All right, Bill unnecessarily saved him there. You see how he said, oh, it teaches, he goes, but, like, oh, you're making a good point, Galloway, but it teaches these kids about uncomfortable spaces. What are you talking about? Bill saved him. He's like, you mean these kids in the tents? What he meant was the Jews, right? The Jews, well, they should learn about some uncomfortable things, like, you know, calls for genocide and people that want to kick them off campus because of their religion, blah, blah, blah. And then the broader point, though, because it's so deep what he's doing there. He's still, after all the success and the millions of dollars and everything else, he still wants you to look at him like he's a victim, because that is the nature of what the left has created. Don Lemon is not a victim. A guy with virtually no talent, right, who has become a millionaire and a TV personality and all of the influence that he has or had or whatever, but he wants you to know he's gay and black. He's often the only black person in the room. But does that mean, are they discriminating against you in that room, or are they giving you a job in that room? Like, I've been in rooms with you, Don Lemon. I've never seen anyone say anything mean to you or anything else. It's just sheer nonsense. And the reason I'm showing you that clip as it pertains to what's going on these college campuses today is these kids have decided that your skin color, your religion, your sexuality, of course, your genitals, that those things matter more than anything in here. And that's a problem. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Let me tell you guys about 8 Sleep. I freaking love this thing. They sent it to me. It's amazing. Today's episode is brought to you by 8 Sleep, the high-tech solution to your age-old sleeping issues. 8 Sleep's pod cover slips right over your mattress, bringing heating and cooling tech that keeps you comfortable and sleeping deeper for a better, more restful night. Sleep science shows that in order to sleep our best, our body temperature needs to drop into the early and middle part of sleep and rise in the morning. The pod cover will improve your sleep by automatically adjusting your bed's temperature based on your individual needs. The cover can be added to any bed like a fitted sheet and allows you and your partner to cool or warm your side of the bed as low as 55 degrees and up to 110 degrees. In addition to keeping you the perfect temperature all night, the pod also tracks your sleep and health metrics. On average, pod users see their sleep quality improve by 32% after just a month on the pod. There's no better way to improve your day and your life than better sleep. It's the easiest way, and the easiest way to do that is with 8 Sleep's pod cover. Go to 8sleep.com/Rubin and get $200 off plus free shipping on the pod cover by 8 Sleep. I'm using this thing. I've dialed it down low, nice and cool, sleeping like a baby. All right, so let's connect this widely to what's going on, because it's not just Columbia, obviously, and it's not just NYU, these insane genocidal protests, and that's what they are. And not only that, illegal more than anything else. I am a defender of anyone's right to free speech. You can say whatever you want without directly threatening to kill people. And again, they're trying to whittle that as close as they can. But you cannot take over public spaces so that other people cannot express their right to free speech. You can't just block people from coming onto college campuses. You can't block roads, et cetera, et cetera. We're seeing this burst forth all over the place. Here's a quick compilation. This includes Virginia Tech, Washington University, Harvard, where they took down the American flag and put up a Palestinian flag, Cal Poly, and I think one or two more. There are dozens and dozens more videos that we can show you. I mean, they are the ones that are illegally occupying things. Israel and the Jews are not illegally occupying Israel. It's just so fucking backwards. It's extraordinary. You can see the way they coordinate. They link arms so they can't be arrested. They resist arrest. And then they have people there ready. What's your name? What's your name? And we're going to videotape the whole thing. And they want to escalate everything. And what's interesting about this is you have this strange conflation of, you have just sort of like a bunch of kids whose brains have been blown apart for some of the reasons that Galloway mentioned, right? They're not having sex. They're online all day. They've been taught all of the wrong things. Their parents haven't done a good job teaching them the right things. They're on all these prescription drugs and everything else. Then you have like genuine Islamists and jihadists that have percolated their way into these things. We have no idea how many of these people are even legal or students that are at these things. You have professors there who for generations, decades, have taught these kids how evil Israel is and America is and everything else, which is why it's happening at the elite schools, right? This isn't happening at the average community college where a kid has to learn something so that they can get an actual job, right? It can only happen at the elite layer where it's rich kids who are learning lesbian basket weaving, and there's nothing actually real that they're learning. They're just learning complete nonsense. Although they are learning something, actually, I should say. I do have to stand corrected because this next clip shows you what they're really learning. And I don't think this is thought of as a traditional liberal education.
Allahu Akbar. إله إلا الله
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير مغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Trying to think of like the average kid, right? Like the 17-year-old, he's a junior in college, right? And he's like, I'm going to get a liberal arts degree at Columbia, and I'm going to go to New York City, and, you know, I'll go downtown on the weekends and, like, see what's going on in the village. And then, like, you know, next thing you know, Allahu Akbar. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But the reason I'm showing you that is these kids whose brains have been broken are now submitting to Allah. Is that what liberalism is all about? I suppose perhaps it is. At the end road of what the left has become is just a complete group of people who have no idea what they think, submitting to something that would gladly behead them. You can even, if you watch the video again later, like watch some of the people that are just standing there, these young people, they have no idea what they are there for. And now the religious zealots are there to steal their souls. That is what's happening. And if you don't think that these kids know what they're talking about, well, they don't. And here's a perfect example of that.
So it sounds like you've been familiar with the issue of Palestine before October 7th. When did you first start learning about Palestine? And when was that?
Yeah, so not too much. I came up in the New York City public school system. I think it was in high school I had a teacher who, you know, told us. I mean, my background, I'm black and white, so I grew up in a very more of like a American-based African diaspora conversations. So I think it was in high school we started talking about how Israel was given like the two-state and that sort of thing. And I had a teacher who was like, yeah, I don't think there can be much sympathy for their position now given the mass violence they've incited on the Palestinian people. And I think that was the first time an educator had ever said that. That was my junior year at a high school in the Bronx. And yeah, ever since, I mean, I grew up on Obama. I went to his inaugurations, big Democratic households, and I had no idea that he was responsible, dropped more drone bombs and whatnot on the Middle East than any president in history. I had no idea he was a terrorist. That was not part of what I was fed growing up as an Obama kid.
Okay, now I can analyze that properly. First off, I'm very happy to hear at the end of that she believes that Barack Obama is a terrorist for drone striking all these people, because Barack Obama is behind much of what has gone on here. Joe Biden is not running the Democrat Party, obviously. And Barack Obama has ushered this in. And guess what, Barack? The revolution eats its own. So they're going to come for you one day, too. You're going to have to hang out in that that 30-acre house in Martha's Vineyard. That's where it's all going to end. And I think you possibly killed your chef also or something. But okay, we'll let that be. Phoenix mentioned that during that girl's brilliant opus, Columbia has a 3.8% acceptance rate. That girl sounds brain dead. And I'm guessing that that's pretty much what most of those kids are like. She has no idea what she's talking about. She's half black, half white, and talks about the black diaspora, and Israel was given two states. It's all complete dribble. It was from one high school teacher. They have no idea what they're doing. And by the way, there are many, many other videos of this. So you have a bunch of useful idiots, a bunch of pawns, if we were playing chess, that are being used by jihadists and Marxists to just put out there and make it seem like there's a real movement that means anything. And it really just doesn't exist. But let me connect that to some of how they use their tactics, how the communists actually use their tactics to destroy society. So I mentioned it earlier, but Yuri Bezmenov, there, I got his name right for once. Okay, good for me. Was this KGB agent who in the 80s basically went on television and revealed in an interview what so many of the tactics that the KGB does are. I want to read you, there's a Twitter account called Yuri Bezmenov's Ghost that talks a lot about him and his thoughts. And I want to read something to you. Check this out. So this is from the Manifesto of the Communist Party, which of course was written by Karl Marx, 1848. And here's the one line that's important. In short, the communists everywhere support every revolutionary movement against the existing social and political order of the day. So think about that now in the context of what we are seeing. You have a whole bunch of people that have no idea what they're talking about when you're talking about these kids whose brains have been blown apart. But then there are genuine communists and there are genuine Marxists. And they have all aligned, and the jihadists and everything else, they have all aligned to just destroy what the power structure is right now. Israel is the little fish. The big fish, of course, is the United States, which is why I always say, again, if you don't care about Israel, you don't care about the Jews, whatever, this is just the beginning. So we better nip this thing off at the bud right now. Unfortunately, that is not what's going on over at Columbia. We've got some info from Steve McGuire here. Columbia leadership announced last night that they will not be calling the NYPD back to campus. We called on the NYPD to clear an encampment once, but we all share the view based on discussions within our community and with outside experts that to bring back the NYPD at this time would be counterproductive, further inflaming what is happening on campus and drawing thousands to our doorstep who would threaten our community. Isn't that last line particularly interesting? Whether or not you think that bringing the police back would be a good idea, that somehow if they brought the police back, I want to get the line right. What was the exact line? Sorry, go the other way, Phoenix. The last line, and drawing thousands to our doorstep who would threaten our community. So are you saying that if you brought the police in to protect Columbia University, that thousands of people who have nothing to do with Columbia, Antifa, other jihadists, maybe illegals, general rabble-rousers might all show up, so you're not going to bring in the police? Then we have a much bigger problem that has nothing to do with Columbia, but or they've ceded the ground. Columbia has already lost. It is now basically a whale carcass. Remember the video we talked about last week with Jordan Peterson and the whale? It is basically a whale carcass that is being eaten out from the inside. You cannot, obviously, no one watching this is going to send their kids there, but they've already conceded that they will not have campus class on campus for the rest of the semester. So they let the terrorists win already. And once you start negotiating with these people, they will take more and more and more and more. We'll get to that in just a second. Let me talk to you guys about Preserve Gold. Guys, a new digital currency is coming and could replace your dollars with digital currency. With it could come surveillance of our lives, freezing of assets, and government control over our bank accounts and how we spend our own money. Americans who want to protect their liberty and privacy need to prepare themselves for what's to come. That's why many Americans are turning to physical gold and silver to diversify their wealth. If you want to help protect your retirement, I recommend you request the free investment guide from my friends at Preserve Gold today. They'll explore the right options for you and will help you with the process to have your physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA, 401k, or other qualified retirement account. And they make it easy. They're triple B accredited with zero consumer complaints and hundreds of satisfied clients. They're also a founding member of the Precious Metals Association, so you know you're in good hands. And as an exclusive offer to the Rubin Report viewers, they'll give you up to $10,000 in free gold and silver with a qualifying purchase or retirement account rollover. They'll even throw in an immediate $500 account credit if you request your investor guide today. So don't wait. Visit preservegold.com/Dave today to get your free gold and silver investment guide and take the first step towards protecting your wealth. Again, that's preservegold.com/Dave to get your free guide from the good people at Preserve Gold. And now back to me. So here's a good one for you. This is from the New York Post. Got a headline for you. Banned Columbia anti-Israel camp ringleader Khamenei James once said they hate white people. He once said they hate white people. They have to, oh God, you see why I read that wrong? Because it's not grammatically correct to call someone they. I'll try to read it one more time. Banned Columbia anti-Israel camp ringleader Khamenei James once said they hate white people and wanted to work for AOC. First off, New York Post people, stop giving in to these morons. He's a he. He sounds like a she. I don't know what genitals he has, but he's not a they. I know that much. Sorry, dude. You already punched the cloud. So this person, this they person, is one of the leaders of the Hamas group over at Columbia. And here's a little video from the Hamas leader.
Always stand on business. Zionists they don't deserve to live comfortably, let alone Zionists don't deserve to live. The same way we're very comfortable accepting that Nazis don't deserve to live, fascists don't deserve to live, racists don't deserve to live, Zionists, they shouldn't live in this world. If we're truly in it, and when I say in it, if we're truly living life...
Who have entered the camp!
Who have entered the camp!
We are going to create a human chain!
We are going to create a human chain!
Where I am standing!
Where I am standing.
So that
they do not pass this point
and infringe upon our privacy. And try to disrupt our community. Please join me in this chain.
Man, where is Barack Obama when you need a drone strike on Americans? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. So Zionists don't deserve to live, just like Nazis, fascists, racists don't deserve to live. You see that thing that I'm always talking about, that thin veneer of progressive tolerance, and right beneath it is something so fucking nasty and authoritarian and evil. That's what these people believe. Also, as he's chanting out there, it's like, oh, we're going to create a wall so people can't invade our privacy. You do realize you're invading other people's privacy. You're infringing on other people's rights. But I know it's a one-way street with these people. Anyway, the video that we showed you where he's talking to the camera, he or she or they or whatever it is, that was shown to Columbia administrators weeks ago, and they didn't suspend him when he was talking about killing people. Anyway, here he is defending himself over those comments and really just digging the hole deeper.
My name is Sasha Lakadaway. I'm one of the associate directors in the Center for Student Success and Intervention.
I'm Kamani James. I use he, she, they pronouns. Zionists in my DM wanting to meet up and fight. I don't fight to injure or for there to be a winner or loser. I fight to kill. See y'all in New York, January 2024.
Mm-hmm. So that's specifically what we're going to be discussing today. Do you see why that's problematic in any way?
No.
Do you think that there's a serious weight in taking someone else's life?
I think there is a serious weight in taking someone's life. And at the same time, I think that taking someone's life in certain case scenarios is necessary and better for the overall world. And so I personally have never killed anyone. Thank the Lord that no one has put me in that position. Though when Hitler died, the world rejoiced. Everyone looks back at that time period and said that Hitler needed to die because he was exacting an immense amount of harm against the world. And so just like that, during the Haitian Revolution, Haitian slaves had to kill their masters in order to gain their independence. These were masters who were white supremacists. What is a Zionist? A white supremacist.
Sorry, my brain had to turn back on. We are all dumber for having listened to that. A Zionist is a white supremacist. Someone who thinks that Jews have a little something to do with the ancient land of Israel is a white supremacist. This idiot doesn't realize he would be on the side of Hitler. Now, Hitler wouldn't have been so thrilled with him. Hitler would have smacked a big giant pink triangle on his head and thrown him into a camp. But even all of that aside, the way you see how close this is now, to where they will burst forth with real violence and they will say it will be completely justified. So they're taking the language as close as they can to the edge of the First Amendment, right? But what he's really telling you is violence absolutely is necessary and we will do it. And then what they will do, and I guarantee you this is coming, they will have a bunch of gender confused, drugged up kids who hate their country and hate their lives and hate their bodies and everything else, and they will commit violence in the name of this. It is completely insane. But so what created all of this? Obviously the institutions failed, the parents failed, but largely the idea set that created this was DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's been ushered in sort of two different ways, right? It's been ushered in on one hand by woke education. So kids, a generation of kids, and it's for those of us that are a certain age, it's almost impossible for me at 47 years old, it's almost impossible to believe that this is what public education could do to these kids, right? Because I went to public schools my entire life. I got a basically decent education. You certainly never learned that America was evil. We did learn about slavery, right? Like, and that we seeded the ground so that teachers started brainwashing students. So that's one pillar of this thing, the woke education indoctrination, to blow their brains apart, usher in or unearth ancient hatreds and everything else. And then the other part of this now that we can connect it to more largely what's going on here politically is multicultural immigration, that we basically have said anyone can come here. We don't know what you think or why you think it or if you want to kill people or anything else, but you just come on into America and let's see what happens. This, of course, is just what Europe, what Western Europe particularly, has been doing for about a decade, and they pretty much regret it in harmony right now. That is very clear. Anyway, so how is this happening? Well, yes, it has something to do with a guy named George Soros. Check out this from Visegrad 24. George Soros, the billionaire left-wing investor, is one of the backers of Students for Justice in Palestine's parent organization. At three colleges, protests are being encouraged by paid radicals who are fellows of a Soros-funded group called the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. The radical group received at least $300,000 from Soros' Open Society Foundations since 2017 and also took in $355,000 from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund since 2019. So these are well-funded, well-organized groups. George Soros is trying to upend Western civilization. He is trying to end liberal democracy. This is the same guy who funds, of course, all of these DAs in our big cities who don't uphold the law. So he funded Chesa Boudin, who's now been deposed in San Francisco, who destroyed that city. Before him, it was George Gascon, who now is the DA of LA and is now destroying LA. Right? There is one state where he tried to put a couple of DAs in who got kicked out immediately. And yes, that is the free state of Florida. But the point is this indoctrination, yes, it's coming from these teachers whose brains have been blown apart, but it also is coming from well-funded organizations and Students for Justice in Palestine. If any of you are legal experts, just start doing a little work here. Some of you are internet sleuths, like they are offering material support to a terrorist organization. Absolutely. AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, that are supporters of that, Students for Justice in Palestine, they're all involved in this thing. Everyone knows it. Someone just needs to tie this together. But instead, I know we're mostly focused on whether Donald Trump grabbed someone by the pussy or something. Anyway, now you're going to see something seriously disturbing. Like this is really, if you think that genderqueer weirdo trying to murder people was enough. This is Sydney University Palestine Camp, Sydney, Australia, University Palestine Camp. And listen to what they are having five-year-old children do.
Israel Haramiya. Intifada Shabiya. Hurriya, hurriya. Intifada. Father, we're back to the sea. Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Free, free Gaza.
Free, free Gaza.
5, 6, 7, 8. Israel is a terrorist state.
5, 6, 7.
If I had, you're supporting genocide.
Mommy, did that Islamist just behead you? I thought I said free Palestine enough. You know what's coming. These idiots, I mean, hearing these people with their Australian accents cheer for this stuff, what's coming is the Islamists are just using them. They are the pawns, as I said before, just like these college kids are the pawns. And then one day when the Islamists are like, oh, there's more of us than there are of you, or we got it to critical mass, they won't even need 50-50 parity, it will be over. It'll be over for Australia. It'll be over for all of these people. And again, putting aside what you might think about anything as it relates to Israel or Gaza or any of this stuff, having children, young children, scream about an intifada. Intifada is armed revolution. Buses blowing up, suicide bombers, stabbings in the street, cars ramming into families. Like, maybe I'm doing parenting wrong, because we haven't gotten into any of that stuff with the kids yet. They're only 18 months. Who knows? Anyway, here's some more child abuse. This is at Virginia Tech, right here in the good old US of A. I mean, let's try it a different way. That is obviously evil, and that is brainwashing to an extraordinary degree. And again, you think, like the Hamas guys that are watching TV underground right now, they must be laughing. Like, they must be thinking this is the funniest fucking thing in the history of the world. We've got five-year-olds in Australia and in Virginia screaming, free, free Palestine. Meanwhile, we've got, you know, we just raped this woman over here who maybe is pregnant right now, and she's still trapped underground, this Israeli woman, right? But if you think that's insane, I am now going to, this is so banana, this is going on the all-time list. We're busting out the list. This is top insanity as it pertains to freeing Palestine.
Today what we're going to do is we're going to shout, free Palestine. Can I hear that?
How is this real life? How is this real life? Remember that video, that kid after the dentist? Daddy, is this real life? That famous internet video? That's where we're at right now. I think his name was David, actually. That we should have grabbed that. Can we grab that for tomorrow? I need to bring that video back. There you have an adult man dressed up like a childlike doll woman. So you have this genderqueer weirdo who, if that bitch stepped foot into Gaza, would be beheaded or thrown off a roof, indoctrinating young people to chant this shit, and the parents are okay with it. It is so psychotic that I don't know. I'm running out of words. I'm actually running out of words to do this. Maybe tomorrow's show, I'll just sit here for an hour, and I'll just actually think things, and you can try to figure out what I'm thinking. Anyway, okay, so they blew apart their brains. They let all these people into our countries. The Islamists and the drag queens are working together. And then because of DEI, the other part is that every piece of our societal fabric will start collapsing. So right now you might be watching this and go, okay, it's mostly on the college campuses. It's a fringe minority of kids. Eventually they'll sort of filter out into the real world. The world will push back a little bit, and some of them might pieced back together or something like that, right? Like Humpty Dumpty. Some of them will be okay. Except the problem is that we are sending these broken kids out into the world to do important jobs, like say fly planes and be doctors. This video was going super viral over the weekend. It's I think 6 seconds or something. Take a look. This is a young girl who is very proud because she's now in med school. And well, just take a look. I'm in the business of misery, let's take it from the top, she's got a... You get that? She had a 3.3 GPA, she had 5 C's, I assume she's talking about her junior year in high school. She was accepted into 10 medical schools. She's black, by the way. I don't care about her skin color, but the system does. So she was not a particularly good student. She's proud of the fact that she was not a particularly good student, and she got into 10 medical schools. I actually texted that video to a buddy of mine who's a doctor, and his whole family is doctors. His 2 siblings are doctors, aunts, uncles, like the whole family. If like these are the people I'm going to, if the shit hits the fan, they happen to be white, so I know that they're particularly good at their job. And he told me that he has a niece right now, who also is white, unfortunately, who had a 4.0 GPA in high school and applied to 20 schools and she got into 1 with a perfect GPA, okay? So that's the level of what's going on here. We are degrading all of our systems. And one day you're going to have a medical problem, right? Your penis vagina might not work, or you have a heart problem and you're gonna go to a doctor and they aren't gonna have a freaking clue as to what they are going to do. So now let's connect this again back to the education piece, because these teachers have been indoctrinating kids, and they've been doing it in secret. So this is really interesting. Aaron Sabarium, who is a Washington Free Beacon reporter, he saw this. This is from UCLA. Recording class sessions is not permitted without express consent from the instructor and class participants. So that's very interesting. So there are certain classes that the professors are making sure that you cannot record what they're doing. And obviously the reason they don't want you to record what they're doing is because they're breaking your brains. They're teaching you the wrong things. They don't know what they're teaching. As they say, those who don't know how to do teach. And that's what a lot of these people end up being. Jordan Peterson saw that and he wrote this. I thought it was quite clear. University students never attend a course when you are forbidden to record what goes on there. Only professors and administrators with something shameful to hide protest about the documentation of what they teach. The universities are irretrievably corrupt. The signs are everywhere. The scavengers have taken over the corpse. And of course, Jordan is right. And of course, we can literally see that now on all of these college campuses. Kids who have no idea what they are doing, chanting for things that they have no knowledge of, aligning themselves with people who would gladly kill them, literally, and they think they're doing it in the name of justice. And now they have politicians backing them, and they have administrators backing them, and mainstream media backing them. And I would say over time, that could all become a problem for Western civilization. Here's a bit more on how our education system has failed our young people by JP.
Why the hell do we have an education system where kids are taught for 12 years minimum if they graduate from high school? And never once do we sit them down and say, all right, you could be who you wanted to be in the best of all possible ways, but you have to know what that would be, and then you have to aim at it, even no matter how imperfectly, right? You have to start to flesh out that vision. Why don't we do that? I thought, well, that's such an oversight. How can we have structured an entire education system where we spend 12 years doing everything except the one thing that we should clearly do, which is to help students elucidate a vision for the development of their character, which is what Hillsdale concentrates on.
So there are some colleges doing that. Hillsdale is one of them. There are several others that are doing that right now. Ralston College in Virginia, which we're actually going to. I'm sorry, in Charleston, yeah. They're blowing my brain apart. In Savannah, Georgia, which we're going to tomorrow. I'm doing an event with Chris Rufo. We'll be putting that on the channel. That's another college where they're doing this. But Jordan is right. And think back to your own education now. Even for those of you who are a little bit more advanced in age, like, we can all look back on our education and go, okay, we learned certain decent things. Maybe we're old enough to learn that, you know, America wasn't systemically racist and that boys and girls are different and the rest of it. But was the education system designed to really help us with our character, really help us learn what really matters? And to be thinking all along, oh, there's something that I'd kind of like to get to in the distance and at least angle you there a little bit. Like, it didn't do that much of it. It wasn't as deeply corrupt as it is now. But the point is that the problems with education, as Jordan says, they did everything they could do except the one thing they were supposed to do. So the problems have been there for a long time. So that's DEI and all of the woke stuff as it pertains to immigration. Now I want to get to that second pillar, as I said, which is multicultural immigration, because we have allowed our borders to be overrun. We have no idea who are in our countries anymore. We know that some of these people are infesting these university protests and everything else. And this video, this is really incredible. This is the video of the day that we're going to show you. We showed you a bunch of things that were sort of brain blown apart, insanity. If you want something that's just clarity and just an honest assessment of what has begun here in the United States, this is the foreign minister of the United Arab Emirates from 7 years ago warning the West as to what might happen.
And let me say this in English so you can understand what I'm saying.
I have translation.
No, I know you have translation, but I just want to make sure you get it right. There will come a day that we will see far more radical, extremist, and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct, or assuming that they know the Middle East and they know Islam and they know the others far better than we do. And I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Okay, so that's 7 years ago with the United Arab Emirates foreign minister warning what's now we know happening in Europe and what is leaking into the United States, because a bunch of people don't want to think about the fact that there are people who want to destroy societies. There are people who don't like gay people and want to subjugate women and everything else. And now you have a bunch of brain blown apart young people who are allying with them. And then we have a guy with dementia who's in the Oval Office right now, who has let in 7 million people in the last 3 years. Phoenix is telling me that just as we're doing this video, Elon apparently just retweeted that video of the foreign minister of the United Arab Emirates. By the way, the United Arab Emirates, which has done an incredible job over the last couple of years in terms of liberalizing its society, turning to the West and away from radicalism, signing a peace deal with Israel in the Abraham Accords. So maybe there is a little something to learn from this guy. Now I want to connect this to 2024. So that was 7 years ago. Well, Konstantin Kissin, we've shown a bunch of videos of Konstantin. We showed one last week at the ARC conference. Here he is talking about, and he lives in the UK. Here he is talking about the problems of multiculturalism when you just bring in a whole bunch of people and they might think about the world a little differently than you do.
How do we combat the kind of hate that is being seen sometimes for the first time in Western civilizations now?
You can't. If you import people who hate Jews, you're going to have people who hate Jews. Am I wrong? So if that's what you're doing, then that's what will happen. You can't fight it. What people keep saying, oh, the rise in there's no rise in anti-Semitism. There's no rise in anti-Semitism. You just found out that you had lots of anti-Semitic people in your society who've been anti-Semitic this entire time. There's no rise. So I don't understand what people are talking about when they say, oh, we're going to fight anti-Semitism. The only way to fight anti-Semitism is to destroy identity politics and the progressive project. And the reason is very simple. And this is something that my friend Eric Weinstein explained very well when we had him on our show with Sam Harris. The reason for left-wing anti-Semitism, which is, I think, what we're probably talking about to some extent outside the kind of more religious-driven element of this, is very simple. Once you say that there are some groups that are underrepresented and there are some groups that are overrepresented, and the only possible explanation of why a group might be overrepresented or underrepresented is privilege and power, then you immediately get to what Adolf would have called the Jewish question.
So the point is that identity politics and all of the stuff that, for those of you that have been watching this show for the decade that I've been screaming about, I don't think I'm a freaking prophet, but I think I saw something very early on, it's kind of why I left the left and all the rest of it, that was deeply rotted, that needed to be exposed. And every time we tried to expose it, we were called racist and everything else. And now the mask has been ripped off. The question is, and the Western Europe, the UK and France, particularly Belgium, a couple of these other countries, Holland, they have a much bigger problem with this because they have imported hundreds of thousands, actually millions of people with really bad ideas. And it's funny because Konstantin kind of skips over the religious part of it. I don't think you can disconnect the religious part, but for our purposes, you can, because look what these kids at these schools, these are not Muslim kids, right? But they are kids who've been blown apart by woke identity politics. Then there's this weird conflation with the ancient religious tensions, right? But again, I show you all of these videos because this is about America now. I am an American. Most of you watching this, about 80% of you watching this are Americans. And I care deeply about this country. And if we want this country to continue, we better deal with this quickly, because this is what Western Europe was dealing with a decade ago, and now we've let in all of these people, and we have no idea what to do. I should mention that Konstantin will be on the show next month. I want to connect this, of course, to one of my favorite politicians. This is Ilhan Omar, a woman who married her brother, by the way. You can Google that and find out. That's okay. Here she is. She went to show support for the little jihadists, the LARPing jihadists at Columbia. And listen to how she describes the Jewish students there.
which is right next to the encampment that has been set up for days. And below, images of hostages still being held in Gaza right next to the Israeli flag. How do you think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment. And I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Whether the Jewish students are pro-genocide or anti-genocide, she is a fucking communist cunt. I don't know what else to say. I know the last couple of weeks it's been a little more colorful with the language around here. I'd like to think I give you some solid analysis, then a little something extra, a little something saucy. But how else can you describe this woman who, again, married her brother? She also is a first generation into the United immigrant into the United States who is here to destroy the United States and by any estimation should be kicked out of Congress. But there are no Jewish students who are for genocide. They would prefer that they not be the victims of genocide. They would prefer that the hostages be returned and then the war ends just like that, but that's something she won't call for. Rand Paul, good old Rand Paul, libertarian Rand Paul, 3 years ago, he was offering to buy her a ticket back to Somalia. I thought we could throw back to this one.
I'm in a town where we have a lot of people who are refugees who have come, some from Somalia, some from Bosnia. I've never heard one of them say that America's a terrible place or be unappreciative of our country. Most of them are thankful. I've met people who have come here from behind the Iron Curtain that got away from communism. They're some of the best Americans we have because they really appreciate how great our country is. And then I hear Representative Omar say, oh, America's a terrible place. I'd love to be justice and there's no justice here. It's like, well, she came here and we fed her, we clothed her, she got welfare, she got school, she got health care, and then lo and behold, she has the honor of actually winning a seat in Congress, and she says we're a terrible country. I think that's about as ungrateful as you can get. And so while I'm not saying we forcibly send her anywhere, I'm willing to contribute to buy her a ticket to go visit Somalia. And I think she could look and maybe learn a little bit about the disaster that is Somalia, that has no capitalism, has no God-given rights guaranteed in a constitution, and has about seven different tribes that have been fighting each other for the last 40 years.
Isn't it easy to tell the truth? Like, he knows what she is. She knows what she is. She came here, was given everything, and now she's here to destroy this country. Because if we go back to that quote from Marx, the whole point is to join the revolution. None of it has to make sense. Queers for Palestine doesn't have to make sense. It's all to just feed the revolution. Of course, the other thing they do is they accuse the rest of us of doing all of the things that they are doing. Here is video of Hillary Clinton explaining how crazy things are going to get as it gets closer to the election. And again, this is one of those lady get a mirror moments.
This is going to be on steroids in the fall everywhere. And authoritarian leaders, authoritarian wannabes, political parties are all going to be trying to figure out how to manipulate your minds. Because that's really what it comes down to. How to inject false information, how to mislead you, chase rabbits down, conspiracy, you know, holes.
No, manipulate your minds, kind of like when you told people that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president, kind of like all of the things that we've shown you over the last 45 minutes as it pertains to breaking apart the brains of young people so they are literally chanting for genocide and they don't know anything about the people or the place that they're talking about. Do you think that that's a problem? Authoritarian leaders might be sneaking in, kind of like, it would be like almost as if there would be like a guy that was leading who is likely going to be the Republican nominee for president. You guys were just trying to hang him up in court and make sure he couldn't get on ballots in certain states, kind of like some of that stuff. Here's Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, who again, did not vote for Donald Trump last time. I don't know if he's going to vote for Donald Trump this time. But here he is, because he's, I would say, largely an old school liberal who has woke up to how absolutely devastating the weaponization of colleges and the internet has become to our society.
we got lucky because of this thing that's going on right now. Well, actually, I think this thing that's going on right now couldn't be going on right now without the influence of the internet.
Right.
The internet has like created this mind virus that's sweeping through college campuses and and also the universities and the Marxist philosophies that they've been pushing in universities because of they've all been infiltrated by Russia, by the former Soviet Union, and now by China and Russia together. For sure, they're influencing. They push the wokest teachers, the wokest professors, the nuttiest policies. And they're literally doing it to deteriorate the fabric of American democracy. They have like plans for it. They've thought about it. Like Yuri Bezmenov talked about this in 1984.
That clip. It's crazy.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
When you watch it today, they were right.
It's very prophetic.
He did it.
Yeah.
They did it.
1,000%.
Hey, Connor, do we have that clip of Yuri?
Ideological subversion. That is a phrase that I'm afraid some Americans don't fully understand. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism.
It almost feels like that video, 1984, former KGB agent, that video was left by aliens as a little breadcrumb into what was going to happen to us. I don't mean that literally. I don't think it was left by aliens, but like it's here and there was a plan and we should know the plan which was largely written by Marx. The revolution will always be about the revolution. All of the rest of it is a sideshow and the revolution will eat its own. And then that there would be a plan by these people to subvert democracy, to break brains, to demoralize people, COVID lock people in their homes, get them all hooked on porn and prescription drugs and all of the rest. Like it all kind of makes sense. And if you do not have a culture, you have to have borders, right? Like, so what would you need to defend yourself? You would need strong borders. Who's in your country? Who's not in your country? And then you would need a culture and a tradition that you would understand so you could hand to the next generation so they would be able to defend the place too. And America, we have the most beautiful culture and tradition perhaps in all of the world, in the history of the world, because our tradition is not based in skin color. Our tradition is based in freedom, God-given rights, individual freedom, and we are handing it away. I want to show you a video from CPAC Hungary over the weekend. This is Eva Vlaardingerbroek, who I hope I pronounced her name right. I had her on the show once when we were at the ARC conference in London a couple months ago. She is an absolutely incredible speaker as it pertains to what is going on in Europe and the amount of illegal immigrants, or well, in some cases not illegal immigrants because they open their doors to all of these people, but they let all of these people in from the Middle East and Africa. Their social systems are collapsing. They have tension on the streets. They have more violence, more drug use, gang violence, all of these things. And here is a warning from her as to what these countries are about to face if they don't start figuring out what their culture, tradition, and past actually are.
Do we really accept the new reality that our globalist leaders have in mind for us? I know one thing for sure, and that is that if nothing changes, if we don't start to seriously fight for our continent, for our religion, for our people, our countries, then this time that we live in will go down in history as the time in which Western nations no longer had to get invaded by hostile armies in order to be conquered. This time will then go down in history as the period in which the invader was actively invited in by a corrupt elite. And not only did this corrupt elite invite the enemy in, they made the native population pay for it too. Dutch national disgrace and dubbed climate pope Frans Timmermans already stated in 2015 that diversity is humanity's destiny and that Europe will be diverse. And of course, by now, I think we all know what they mean with the word diversity. It means less white people, less of you. Isn't it funny how the same people who erode our national sovereignty and love to do it, give it all up to the Eurocrats there, that those people are now telling us that we need to spend billions and billions of euros on the national sovereignty of Ukraine? The totalitarian institute of the European Union needs to come down. Let me be clear, I don't believe in reforms. When the foundation of your institution is rotten, and that is the case in Brussels, you can rebuild the house on top of it all you want, but it's still going to crumble. So the only answer is the Tower of Babel needs to be destroyed.
Doesn't that kind of sound right for where we're at right now? We've imported a bunch of people. We know we've taught all the wrong ideas. We don't have enough good people out there explaining our history, explaining our culture. From an American perspective, this has nothing to do with skin color. I live here in Miami. Miami, I am surrounded all day by Cubans and Venezuelans and all sorts of different people from Latin America. There are days that go by where actually I hear more Spanish than I do English. But when I talk to people, they freaking love America and they know why they're here, particularly the Cubans. Go hang out in Little Havana sometime and tell people you're a communist. See how quickly you get a cigar in your eye. Don't do that. That was a joke. So it's not about skin color. It's about culture and tradition and reality. And if we don't fight for it, all of the stuff that the occupation of our college campuses now, if we just fold and let these kids run ramshot into reality, into the real world, well, we've already seen that the real world doesn't put up much of a fight. So now let's flash forward this 20 years later when thousands and millions of more brains are broken. And then they're everywhere. And it won't just be that they've occupied Columbia and they've occupied NYU. They will have occupied all of our corporate buildings and they will have occupied our government buildings and everything else. And we will have sectarian warfare on the street and it will not be safe to go anywhere. Or you could stand up and do what's right. And this is a beautiful, beautiful video because, you know, frat dudes get a bum rap, I would say. They're always told that they're the worst, you white frat dudes. And I'm fairly certain that there are some fraternities that are not just white people. Black people have their fraternities, Latino people. Some are mixed even, what a world. But at Arizona State University, the frat dudes could not take it anymore. They had had just about enough of the Hamas encampments, and here they are taking them down.
Look at these. Right. We've got the white frat boys throwing away protesters' belongings, and we've got the pigs in brown doing nothing about it, although we are being forced off campus. Pigs in brown!
Okay, so the chick with the narration there obviously is one of the little jihadists, but yes, it was the police just making sure there was going to be no violence, and then the frat dudes just taking care of business. I guess white boy summer has begun a little early. I want to show you one more video, guys, because, you know, I like to leave on a positive note. And the positive note here is that if we can just preserve the good stuff from the past and then look to that thing in the distance and just kind of angle at it, that there is something beautiful in the distance. And we will look back at this little time and be like, boy, we really did get to the precipice of giving it all away. But we didn't, right? That's what Eva's talking about. Like, otherwise, we will look back and be like, boy, well, that was, I guess we really blew that one. Except your brother's going to be beheaded sitting next to you, and that's going to be a problem. Elon Musk.
That there's a mission. There's a larger mission there. And I'd love if you'd talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I'll stand, actually. You see me? Yeah, I guess. Okay. So as Jonah was alluding to, you know, there are a lot of negative things in the world. There's a lot of terrible things that are happening all over the world, all the time. There are lots of problems that need to get solved. There's lots of things that are miserable and kind of get you down. But that life cannot just be about solving one miserable problem after another. That can't be the only thing. There need to be things that inspire you, that make you glad to wake up in the morning and be part of humanity. That's why we did this. This guy called Tsiolkovsky, one of the early Russian rocket scientists, the great saying, Earth is the cradle of humanity, but you cannot stay in the cradle forever. It is time to go forth, become a star-faring civilization, be out there among the stars, expand the scope and scale of human consciousness. I find that incredibly exciting. That makes me glad to be alive. I hope you feel the same way.
You know, it's funny, as I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, you know, maybe actually we should let these guys have Columbia, let them have all the universities, and we'll just hop on the rockets and get the hell out of here. Congratulations, you guys can take the craptastic destruction that you have wrought. Just kidding, we have to fight a little bit because it's going to take some time to get there. But interstellar travel, the idea that we can explore the stars, like all of the things that we can unlock, it's like it's right there. And if we dream a little bit, the reason I love all these videos with Elon, it's like he's dreaming about what we can do instead of these people going, no, I want to return to something 75 years ago, even though I have no idea what I'm talking about. And also, I'm going to fucking burn down this university. Meh. That's our show for today. We've got a post-game show at RubinReport.locals.com in about 30 seconds. We have relaunched our merch store, by the way, DaveRubin.store, if you'd like some swag. And my full interview with Pete Bogosian is up across platforms right now. The great Pete Bogosian. Good buddy of mine, if you haven't seen the interview yet. He's just great. And Pete is a guy, he is a liberal who has woken up. That is the group we are going to continue focusing on, and we'll see what happens. All right, post-game show in just a bit. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at RubinReport.locals.com.